If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the One Self. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Developing Right Relationship with the Only One That Matters. So, let's take a deep breath and call your own self forward into your own soul purpose, your own divine identity, your own unique presence. And write it in to every cell of your being with your next breath. Take a deep breath. And bring that energy all the way through until you feel your toes tingle. See if you can feel the vitality and the energy inside your envelope of skin. Now see if you can expand a sense of self beyond the envelope of skin to where you simply inhabit as awareness itself. And now set your purpose, if you will, to opening up to what would be your next step in developing a right relationship with the only one that matters. So, who do you live with 24/7 that you can never get away from? It's the one that tags along on your vacation. It's the one you go to bed with every night and must awaken to face every morning of your life. Are you stumped? Well, let's give a little assistance to you here. It's yourself. It's you. So earlier today, it was laughing with my friend, and I said, you know, I think I really should call this radio show the music, the musings of a Meshuggah mystic, or moving from Meshuggah mysticism to messiahship. And if you don't know what Meshuggah means, it means crazy. So you have to be crazy to look at life in a totally different way that is absolutely the polar opposite of the way everyone else is looking and speaking and thinking and believing. You got to really go out on that limb, metaphorically speaking, and really have an element of daring do in this process, which is indeed mystical Meshugganism. So when you think about it, life is all about relationship. In highest truth, the absolute creative source is having a relationship only with itself. And souls are simply the way the divine spirit is experiencing multi-dimensional diversity and differentiation. Imagine for a moment that there's only one divine Atma, one spirit, that is appearing as the many, that has manifested as everything in existence and yet remains eternally one and indivisible. I told you it was Meshuggah. That's a perspective that's totally foreign to the Western intellectual mindset. You know, the people in the industrialized Western culture have been completely indoctrinated in seeing God, man, and creation as entirely separate entities. And it's this false assumption of separation that causes all of the conflict and confusion, both within and as a result reflected out in the world and the world situation and conditions. And yet the only place one can look to find the ultimate answer that ends all further conflict and confusion is within oneself. And herein lies the rub. Here's the challenge, that few know the self that does know, or how to draw forth that inner wisdom, even if they do know of the self. But not to worry. This seminar is for you. In this seminar, we'll show you how to draw forth your own answers, if you want to do that. And thus, you can do your own soul purpose overview. But note, you will need to listen to this seminar again. So if you're not subscribed to the BBS Radio Archives, you better make it a point to do so. These seminars are classics in simplicity and clarity, providing dozens of keys to assist you in embodying and fully realizing your divine potential, your divine essence. So if you're serious about awakening to your mission and your soul purpose, these weekly seminars are for you. So let's begin. Most of you are not one person, but are actually three selves. The self you think you are is your body and current personality. The self that others think you are is reflected in your thoughts and beliefs and concepts. But the one you really are is divine spirit or Atma. There's a part of you, and pay attention here. There is a part of you that is always awake, always aware, that is never unconscious. That part of you sees everything. That part of you knows everything. And that part of you is everything. That part of you is everyone. And there is no other in highest truth. That's going to be the full teaching and message of the third in the Trinitized avatar appearance of Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai, and Prema Sai Baba. Prema Sai Baba is going to bring forward the message that you yourself are God. And as you can imagine, that's going to collapse just about every structure that we have formed, every God box, every philosophical box, every confinement within science. There, all of those house of cards are going to come tumbling down in the face of the truth that will then be expressed as the Golden Age, the new and many, I might say, Satya Yuga. It's a smaller age within a greater age. So that's why it's important, I believe, that you become a diligent student of yourself, capital S, because that divine God essence is trying to get to you, through you, and through you out into the world. And unless it can only do to you what it can do through you. And it can only do through you whatever needs to be implemented in the divine plan to bring forward this golden age. And that is part of our function here. We're divine functionaries to get that golden essence of divine wisdom out into the new worldview. So, your relationship with yourself is the only relationship that you can never, ever escape. You can't avoid it or divorce it. You can't even really disregard it. It's on you, in your face, all over you. No matter what you do, you're stuck with yourself. You only have karma with yourself. Your world is your mirror. Ooh, that's excruciating. How much the ego likes to hide behind the pointing finger. It's them. It's always outside of the self. That's how the ego mind fools you into believing that there's otherness out there, enemies out there. And yet Jesus himself said, "Behold, my enemies are of mine own household." He was speaking about his inner consciousness. So that's true of every one of us. There are no outer enemies. There are just thoughts at war within our own consciousness. And yet the fact remains that very few people have any idea, much less any experience, of that divine consciousness that they truly are. You know, most people truly believe there's a separate world out there. And some people even believe there's a God up there in the sky somewhere. Now, isn't it odd? Isn't it really mashugana crazy odd that most people live 24/7 with a person they know absolutely nothing about? If that isn't crazy, I don't know what is. I mean, try it sometime. You know, just try it sometime. Ask someone, preferably someone in a good mood who's going to hit you in the face, "Who are you?" Oh, predictably, they will respond with telling you their name. Or they'll look at you really strangely if it's assumed you already know their name and who they are. But keep pressing in with your question. No, not your name. That's what your parents tacked onto your body. Who are you? And they might go, "Well, I'm a musician, I'm an artist, I'm a lawyer, I'm an engineer, I'm the wife or husband of so-and-so, I'm so-and-so's parent." Don't settle for that. Keep pressing in. No, not what you do for a living, not the label and relationship that you have with another. Who are you? By this time, you're going to be noticing that people will start to squirm. Their eyes will start darting for the nearest exit. How to get away from this mashugana person. And they'll become increasingly uncomfortable, threatened, fearful, and ultimately may become very angry and defensive if you keep this up. In fact, they may become so offended and irate that they may actually attack you, either verbally or physically or both. And, you know, it's for certain that they will think that you're off your meds and totally psychotic. And isn't that the highest possible weirdness for a person to think that you are crazy when they don't even know who they are? Interesting, isn't it? Remember Rampa, he would look at people and he'd go, "Master, know you not who you are?" Remember that in the 80s? Oh, yeah. "Master, know you not who you are?" Nope, haven't a clue. So this is how strange life is. When we have no idea who we are, why we're here, where we've come from, or what our purpose is, or where we're even headed. How weird is that? How weird is that? Does anyone with any modicum of intelligence get up an airplane without knowing where it's headed or how to fly it or what it is that they're sitting in and flying in? Or anyone that boards a train without a destination? Or anyone that sets out on a journey without knowing where they're going? I mean, talk about Mashugana. So pause and consider the absurdity and the humor of this state that all but a very tiny percent of human beings live in. And they think they're alive. They actually think they're alive. They're living life. Whoa. So is it any wonder that the world is the way it is when it's inhabited by a race of beings who have no idea who they are or why they're here? Do you realize here, the human race, the Homo sapiens, are 18.5 million years old. Consciousness was sparked by the Venusian Kumaras, the Lords of the Flame, 18.5 million years ago. And the Homo sapien, or the simian-like hominids, bipedal hominids indigenous to this earth orb, were gifted with a greater sense of self-awareness, and that developed through evolution into the consciousness we call the Homo sapien, or the one that can know the self. And yet, after 18.5 million years, we're still clueless. How interesting. So now consider how many people have totally contentious relationships with themselves. You'll even hear people angrily express hatred for themselves, hatred about their bodies or their appearance or their sexual organs, or their sexual orientation, or how they function or behave. They'll express hatred and really negative emotions about their own manifestation. I mean, who does that? That's kind of like looking at yourself in the mirror and punching your reflection out. So some people have never in their whole life expressed a single kind, appreciative, or positive word about themselves. That's hard to believe. Probably none of you fall in that category that are listening to these shows, but it could be. It could be a time and a season that you pass through that. I remember I had a serious issue with my thighs when I was trying to keep my weight at 108 to be a dancer. Can't say I actually hated them, but I sure didn't love them. So those of you in our Ashtar Command ground crew, or the overall light brigade of Earth volunteers, know what I'm speaking about. Because all healers, counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, people that work with people, have all had clients like this. So if you can follow this trend of strangeness, you can see that behind all abusive, criminal, violent behavior is a person who has no idea who they are, but nevertheless hate themselves. So a person at war with themselves is also at war with everything and everyone. Now, the old saying goes that unless you have forgiven and healed the wounds of the past, you're going to keep bleeding on into your future, and you're going to be hurting everybody in your way, because hurt people are the ones that hurt others. The kindest and the most wonderful thing you can do for this planet is to forgive and heal and release your hatred and your againstness and your vendetta against yourself and others. You know, if you only have karma with yourself, then you're only meeting yourself, no matter who comes forward to enact that otherness in your life. So that's why in every one of our seminars, we keep refocusing on who you truly are. We keep telling you, you are a divine, immortal incarnation. God lives in you as you. You're made in the image and likeness of God. God's divine spirit lives in you. You're God's tabernacle. And we tell you week after week, again and again, that God lives in you as an expression of loving awareness. But you know what? I've spent, golly, most of my life since I was about 8 years old doing counseling and reading and sessions and so forth with people, telling them who they are, where they came from, what their purpose is. And, you know, you meet some of these same people years later, and they're, you know, not, as Sai Baba would say, not a brick has changed. It's they're the same, in the same quandaries. So obviously, someone outside of yourself giving you the answers isn't going to do it for you. You can go to all the seminars, read all the discourses, go to all the activations and empowerments and transmissions. You can go visit the greatest teachers on the planet a bazillion times. But if you don't take the time to look, you're not going to have any awareness. As we've often said, clairvoyance is 99.9% simply looking to see what's there. So we could add that with clairvoyance being the same thing. Listening. My friend had an encounter with her spiritual upline the other day, and they told her about 10 times, you don't listen. You don't listen, over and over again. But that could have been any one of us. We don't listen when we have that little subtle first impression, first voice, first intimation of what we're supposed to do, and we second guess it. We go, oh, that must have been my imagination. Oh, God wouldn't ask me to do that. That's too hard. That would demand something of me that I don't want to do. Don't we do that? Oh, it's subtle. It's not that blatant in most of us. But we just diss and dismiss that subtle, tiny voice of the silence that always lets you know when you're getting into a wrong relationship. That always lets you know not to walk down that dark alley. That always lets you know don't go to that party and drink and act a fool. You know, there's, or that voice that says, yeah, you ought to send a tithe and support that, whatever it is. Yeah, you ought to go down and volunteer and help in the hospital or the hospice, or go see that person that's on your mind. They're really asking for some help. So, yeah, the voice of the silence asks you to do things that are in alignment with your soul purpose, but not your ego's agenda. And it's your ego's agenda that blocks you from seeing and hearing and knowing and being in one accord with your divinity and living not as a Meshuggah, but as a Messiah. That's the part that's keeping you confined in the closets of limitation. So back to yourself. Let's examine your relationship with you. Do you like this person you wake up with every morning? You know, the one you've lived with all these years. And see, every time you look in the mirror. I mean, seriously look. Do you like you? Does your language, when you're referring to yourself, reflect self-esteem and self-respect? You know, sometimes false humility expresses as self-deprecation, as if that somehow were a positive virtue. It's not a virtue. Self-deprecation is false humility, hiding behind another one of the ego's masks. So let's look again. Are you kind and considerate of yourself? Are you your own best friend? Are you your favorite companion and person to hang out with? Do you enjoy your own company? So here's your practicum, should you wish to comply. And it's this. Write down every single thing that you can think of that you like, admire, appreciate, and are grateful for about yourself. What do you most love and like and appreciate about yourself? Go on. Nobody's looking. Nobody's going to read or grade your paper. This is for you. You're doing your soul purpose overview here. What do you love about yourself? What is your greatest gift? What is your most predominant talent? What abilities do you really, really appreciate that you have? I'm serious. Listen to this seminar and pause it and journal. You know, when you subscribe to BBS Archives, which is very, very inexpensive, I think you can listen to one show for less than $2. Hey, you spend more than that on a latte. Invest it in yourself. So re-listen to the seminar and pause it. And journal. And ask yourself these same questions. And before you do any of it, ask the Divine Spirit for the clarity of insight to reveal you to you. Ask to have your own inner seership, visionary abilities, your own inner wisdoms and knowing that you've gleaned through many, many immersions in time, space, and embodiments. You're an ancient soul. A light worker to be a real bearer of light has been through all the mystery schools, has lived in the ashrams and the Himalayan caves and the hermitages, and has practiced these spiritual techniques many lifetimes. That's why you're interested in hearing what I have to say. I come from that background, and the last four of my lifetimes was as an Indian guru. So, here I am, telling you, gee, you are you. Get it? So what do you love, admire, and respect, and honor about yourself. You know, it's said that Sri Ramakrishna couldn't tell the difference when he was in the highest state of awareness. He couldn't tell the difference between his own photograph and that of the Divine Mother, whoever he was using as his chosen image. Because Ramakrishna realized God through every spiritual discipline, the Hindu, the Vedic, the Christian, the Muslim, the Vaishnava, the Shaivite, every name and form of God, Sri Ramakrishna, one pointedly focused on that particular name and form until he merged with that. And so he was able to embody the full bouquet of the many back into the essence of the one. But no, he couldn't tell the difference between his own photograph and that of the Divine Mother when he was in his Bhava Samadhi. Yeah, that's where you get to the point that you see the face of your guru on every face, and then one day you look at your guru and you realize you're looking at yourself. It's like you know you're looking at your guru, but you're actually experiencing looking in the mirror at yourself. That's Mashugana. That's Mashugana mysticism. And the mystic is the one that gets to see God, because the mystic is the lover of God. And it's only to the lover that the beloved will stand revealed and naked before you. So, what is your greatest ability? What is it that you are contributing to life right now, in this time in your life? What do you love to do more than anything in the world? Why? What happens when you are doing or expressing or involved with that, whatever that is? What kind of person are you or do you become when you're doing what you love most to do? Do you know that when you're in your real zone, you, as a separate entity, dissolve and become one with whatever it is you're doing? There's no self-awareness as in separate from your action when you're in the zone. You become one with. That's a big key to watch yourself when you get in that place that you lose the sense of separate identity. That's the kind of thing where you get in the morning, up in the morning, and you start doing whatever it is. For me, it's writing because I'm a writer. And there were days when all of a sudden I would look down. I'd never gotten out of my pajamas. The sun is down. The night's over. I've never gone to the bathroom, had anything to drink or anything to eat. And it feels like 10 minutes has passed, and I can't believe that the day is gone. That's when you know you're doing what you love most to do, okay? That's when you're so anointed, the separate sense of identity dissolves. It is not, cannot be found. So pay attention. Maybe you've never had that experience. Keep having experiences until you do have it. Keep trying new things. If where you're at is not it for you, keep going. Why hunker down and make do when you can have the whole kit and caboodle? So what kind of person are you? How often do you do this thing that you most love to do? And when did you last do it? Did you do it today? Now, maybe you're doing it right now. Look. Look and see. Are you? You know, people contact me nearly every day. And as I said before, for many, many years, asking me to do a reading for them, to tell them who they really are, to tell them where they've come from, tell them what their soul purpose is. And then one day that struck me as so bizarre. Why would anyone ask another person to tell them who they are? To tell them their identity, their origin, their soul purpose. I mean, you know, isn't that crazy? So let's be very frank here. Who in this world could possibly know you better than you? Not counting God, of course. So now I'm working with people a little differently than I did in previous years when I did do soul purpose overviews. Nowadays, I turn the question back on the questioner. I put the responsibility for looking right back on where it belongs, on the person asking the question. And I'll tell them to look. Who are you? You know, sometimes people that are getting up in years or, you know, 60, 70 years old, they want to know what their soul purpose is. And I say, well, what have you done with your life? What have you been doing for all those decades? What are you doing now? That's been what your life's been about. So what kind of character are you developing? What do you speak about most often? What are you most focused upon? What is your greatest challenge and area of weakness? I told you, you're going to have to re-listen to the seminar. I'm giving you all the keys you need to know who you are, why you're here, and what your soul purpose is. So, what do you sense as your home, your true point of origin? Who created you? Who created you? How did you come to be? Where is the source of your life? And how do you connect and commune with that part that you sense is the source of your life? You know, the first time I saw Sai Baba, I immediately knew that I had come out of him. How is that? Well, I was totally ignorant of Eastern philosophy when I went to see Sai Baba. And that was my direct experience. Later on, I found out he's an embodiment as an avatar of Maha Vishnu. Maha Vishnu is the bodhisattva or the Christ aspect that always takes embodiment upon the earth in a human form so that you can experience God directly and personally. That's the function of the avatar, to make God or an aspect of God visible in human form. So, I had come out as a spirit of that second ray, love, wisdom, energy, called the lineage of the Christ or the Bodhisattva or the spiritual travelers or the Sura Muni, the people of the sun, the Inkals, the solar dynasty, the great central sun systems. There's many, many terms that each discipline has for these things, and it's the same thing. We get attached to looking and labeling something in a certain way. But you can find the same principle in every world faith. Every spiritual discipline has basically the same teaching. It's presented through a different, slightly different angle. So if you take the time to ask, and then look, and then journal your insights, I absolutely promise you, we of the Ashtar Command absolutely promise you, you will discover for yourself who you are, why you're here, your major life's lessons, your soul purpose, and your mission in this life. And best of all, it won't cost you a penny. And if you've learned to respect and love and trust yourself, you will never have a single doubt that what was revealed to you was the absolute truth. So most people are wasting their time in some form of passive meditation, waiting for God to come to them, waiting for divine revelation to somehow, you know, plop down in their head or their mind or their lap. And many of these people have been doing that same meditational practice for years after year after year. And in some cases, in many cases that I've encountered, they've not had a single expansion of conscious awareness. Not one iota. They've only done the technique. They've only sat there and wool gathered in their mind or whatever. And many people fall asleep and go totally unconscious. They fall back in that throat chakra, which is where you have the dreams and the, astral experiences. That's the throat chakra. If you watch yourself falling asleep, you'll see that you fall back into the throat when you go unconscious. So how can you exercise spiritually when you're sound asleep? Spiritual exercises involve consciously moving your spiritual inner awareness to different vantage points and looking and listening, nirat and sirat, looking and listening inwardly. And again, people often leave their teachers and their gurus or their spiritual groups, and they stop their practice and they go away disappointed, bad-mouthing their teachers because they bought into the mistaken notion that the teacher, the method, or the group was at fault. When in reality, it can be seen that they expected revelation in relaxation. And instead, they were resting and rusting. The path of revelation has been called the razor's edge because it requires total awareness and alertness and vigilance as you traverse this narrow way. So the question again is, what do you want? What do you truly want, spiritually speaking? Or just, what do you want? Without qualifying it. Because what you want is revealed by what you're doing every day. What you're doing with your time and your energy and your focus reveals what you truly want, what really matters to you. And you know what? When you really want something, you will find a way to have it. I don't care what you have to do. You and I all know that feeling that comes upon you when you absolutely have to have that whatever. Boy, you'll work, you'll sacrifice, you'll scrimp, you'll save, you'll connive, you'll do whatever you have to do, but you will make sure you have that thing, whatever that is. And you know, it's so interesting. You only need to listen to a person speak for a few minutes to see where their consciousness is focused. You only need to hear what's coming out of that mouth to know what they have deposited in that heart. Because what you've deposited in your heart is what comes out your mouth in your speech. So don't expect any return for where you've made no deposit. So ask yourself, where have I made my deposits in my life? Where have you invested your life, your time, your energy, your attention, your money, your resources, your commitment and loyalty? What are you loyal to? What is your life about, anyway? You're going to get so much insight as you journal. As you have the courage to look with God, you know, let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit, let Sai Baba, let your upline, let the traveler, look through your eyes with you at your life. Let that divine knower that sits in your head behind your eyeballs, that looks out your frontal orifices that you call eyes, let that look through your eyes. And write down. So what is your number one top priority in life? You can tell if you look back and see what you've done with your life. No judgment. Observation. Detached observation. You've got all of endless eternity. There's no hurry. Sai Baba always says, start early. Avoid hurry. Avoid worry. Haste makes hurry. Hurry makes worry. So never, ever be in a hurry. He teaches a little simple little things that you can remember. Start the day with love. Fill the day with love. Spend the day with love. End the day with love. This is the way to God. Love all, serve all. All life is one. Be alike to everyone. So simple. So when you leave this body and this current personality, and each of the elements goes back into their respective element. The body goes back into the dust. The emotions go back into the fire and water elements. The mind goes back into the air element. The etheric body goes back into the etheric field. The basic selves go back into the basic self repository for somebody else to use at another lifetime. Not you. You get a new basic with each lifetime. The high selves go back to the high self repository to be used by somebody else. You don't even own your own high self. So what does that leave you? The GV, the individualized self, retracts the quintessential essence that you've imbibed of the higher nature and carries that forward as what's called the tendencies that you will import into your next embodiment. But who you are as divine spirit is what remains. Birthless, deathless, eternal, pure, divine, love, wisdom, power, creative intelligence, that's what remains. That part of you that is all-knowing, everywhere present, all-seeing, ever-blissful, ever-free, totally fulfilled and content, the all-in-all as all, that is the you that remains. So can you take what you've been investing in this incarnation with you? Only if it's part of what I just spoke about. If it's not eternal, then you need to have the perspective that This too shall pass. Enjoy it while it's in your life, but realize at some point every material form is going to leave your life. If you live long enough, everything and everyone that you loved, you will watch them one by one leave. I'm not being morbid in this. I'm being very factual and very practical. And not at all Meshuggah. It's Meshuggah not to consider these things. It's very practical to read everything that you can from God-realized, self-realized master souls, avatars, that really know what's going to happen to you when you leave your body, that really know where you're going to go. Not somebody that's reading a book, quoting something that was written thousands of years ago that they have never experienced. Who do you know is God-realized that you can read what they've written or even go and spend time in their presence and under their mantle of teaching, if you have that opportunity? Who can you can imbibe this higher teaching with and spend time soaking in your mind, your mental body, and your understanding, the knowledge of who you are as a divine being? Someone who really can see and know, and they usually don't have much to say. You'll get somebody that's a disciple of one of those great masters, if you're lucky, who can explain things to you. But the higher the master, the more silent they are. Ramana Maharshi never said anything. People would just come and gather around the floor. He'd be lying on his cot. Neem Karoli Baba, too, he said very, very little. Same thing with Shirdi Sai Baba. I was with him in my last lifetime. Shirdi Sai Baba. Satya Sai Baba has to speak because he has the Dharma to correct and to teach and to advise and to correct the waywardness of our minds and where we've gone totally at variance with truth and congruency with reality. So he has to teach, he has to write. We don't know what Prema Sai Baba will do, but apparently he will have a very quiet life compared to Satya Sai Baba. He won't be out there in the same way. And what kind of teaching can you attach to you or God? You know, it's not a thing that you can talk about, something that you either realize or you don't. But he will at least hold that space, because that's what avatars do. They hold a consciousness resonance in time and space. They're like a well. They're like a standing wave column that transmits a particular field of energy that you can come into harmonic resonance with that. They're like a perfectly tuned veena, you know, as you pluck the strings and everything in that world. It comes into harmonic resonance with that. That's all they do. They hold that space and consciousness, and thus they make it available for everyone. So did you only gather the material things of this world that will rust and return to dust? Or did you also garner the eternal treasures of soul? Or are you in process of garnering the treasures of soul? Have you developed a noble character? Are you working to develop a noble character? A noble character comes out of making difficult choices at inconvenient moments when that's the last thing in the world you want to do. But it's the right thing to do. That's how you develop a noble character. Have you developed wisdom and charity? So ponder and contemplate and dive deep into your inner treasure troves of ancient wisdoms. Call them forward. I mean literally. I call forward that ancient initiate, that ancient Merlin, that ancient whatever you put the term on it, that ancient Rishi, that ancient avatar, that ancient mystic. I call that part of myself forward and ask the deepest love and humility according to my highest good and highest rate, that I may see what is there for me to see right now that would best serve my highest divine soul's purpose. So who are you? Where did you come from? Why are you here? What is your major lesson in this life? Have you learned it? What do you need to do now to learn it, to complete it, to move on? So now, beloved, you know your soul's purpose. The question now is, are you living on purpose as soul? So let's take a deep breath. And we'll complete our seminar by chanting on I Hear, which brings you into that resonant field of the living word that lives in you and sings through you as you. Deep breath. On I Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord, Adonai.